We're going to sing Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. We're gonna put that one off until next week. Heather makes me, that's one of Heather's favorites. She wanted to make sure we sang that, but we're gonna cut it out this week. So come back next week and we'll sing that one. But instead, we're gonna do something just a little different here today. You know, for sure, this church is about one thing. It is about bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That's what we do. It's not about bringing glory to you and me. It's not about bringing glory to any person, man, woman, or child. However, today, I wanted to take just a minute and honor somebody. I want to honor a pastor that has passed away in the last couple of weeks. Billy Graham died just a few days ago, and I think his memorial service and funeral was just Friday, I believe. And I ran across a tribute to Billy Graham that I wanted to share with you and watch and hear a little bit about Billy Graham and the tribute that was for him.
The moment you read in the paper that Billy Graham is dead, you'll know that he's more alive than he's ever been before, and I'm in paradise. And I'm looking forward to it.
The mark he made for the gospel, for the good news, for Jesus, is unprecedented. What a life well lived.
Well, he was one of the most important Christian evangelists who ever drew breath.
Now, you can't change your past. But Christ can change your past.
I can only imagine.
God, I'm certain, is with me. And when I come to the moment of death, I believe that at that moment, there's going to be an angel that will take me by the hand and usher me into the presence of the Lord.
What it will be like.
And I'm going to be in His presence. And it's going to be the most peaceful, the most wonderful, the most thrilling moment
when I walk
that I have ever experienced.
By your side.
God has sent me out as a warrior.
I can only imagine.
On the five continents to preach the gospel.
What my eyes will see when your face.
That's the way to God, is through Jesus.
Is before me. I can only imagine.
When you go home tonight, you don't go alone. Christ goes with you. He loves you.
Surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only I can only imagine.
I think he's part of our history. He was the spiritual conscience of our country.
Thank you for the integrity of a man who backed it up in every kind of a way.
Let's talk about 9/11 first. 2001, you're in the White House. What happened, Carl?
Well, Tim Gagline and Matt Smith, two of my deputies, were in charge of the service at the National Cathedral, and they suggested that Billy Graham be asked to participate, and he readily agreed. The difficulty was we had to get him to Washington, D.C. And on that morning of that service, one civilian aircraft was in the skies above the United States.
We should remind everybody that aircraft had been grounded all across the country at that point.
One civilian aircraft is in the skies above the United States, and it bears Billy Graham.
He died on the cross so that all the sins you've ever committed, all the things you've ever done wrong, are forgiven. What do you have to do? You have to repent of your sins.
I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
This is a joyful, godly man. I want to just say thank you, God.
I can only imagine
that you blessed this generation with a man whose heart was sold out to you.
Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Oh, surrounded by your glory, what will my
the advancement of the gospel in the U.S. without the name Billy Graham coming up.
He didn't stop with his generation.
I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you.
There's been nobody like this man, probably ever in the history of mankind. And to watch people respond to the message, pretty overwhelming, every single night.
I can only imagine.
I would like to be remembered as a person who was faithful to God, and faithful to my call, and did it with integrity and with love.
I'm going to ask you to do something that we've seen thousands of people do all over the world. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment tonight to be sure that you know Christ and that you're ready for eternity.
I love that opening line that he says, when you read in the newspaper that Billy Graham is dead, he's more alive than ever before and I'm in paradise. I thought that was just a wonderful testimony to his faith and what he was all about. He wanted to be remembered as a man about truth and about and having integrity and maintaining that truth throughout all of his life and all of his preaching. And like the commentator said, there are many, may never again have a man like this. No doubt since, you know, history has been kept that there is somebody who has probably affected more people for the faith of Christ than Billy Graham. I was talking to my brother this week on the phone about this, and he said, you know, probably he brought more people to Christianity than even Jesus Christ did. And it's probably, I don't mean that to be blasphemous at all, but it's probably kind of true. And I said back to my brother John, I said, yeah, but he didn't walk on water. And he didn't do that. But no doubt his timing that when Billy Graham did this, the whole idea of a television ministry and how important that was and what he could do and how he used media, that probably will never happen again. And the impact that he has left on our faith and so many people in this country and worldwide that he has influence for the gospel of Christ. And so, yeah, thank you, Billy Graham. I got to see Billy Graham. I was trying to find when he was at Billy Sunday Tabernacle in Winona, I think back in the early 60s, and I just kind of remember being a kid and sitting on the sawdust floor there, and because my mom and dad really wanted to go see him. I don't know what that year was, but, you know, as a kid, some of you will appreciate this, that, you know, as a kid, we had one TV, and we had three channels on the TV. That was all there was, and you pretty much watched what kind of mom and dad wanted to watch, and we had to, you know, Sunday nights we had to gut through Lawrence Welk so that we could get to Daniel Boone and the Walt Disney's hour, and gut through Lawrence Welk was for sure. Sorry, some of you are big Lawrence Welk fans, but, you know, had to get through that to get to the Disney, or if the Masters was ever on, that took precedence. Dad had to watch the Masters on TV. But what took precedence even more than that is when Billy Graham had a crusade on television, that was what was on, and that is what we watched. And even as a kid, I knew that there was something right in that. I knew in watching that, for sure I was too young to understand all the theology that Billy Graham would have been talking about, but I knew that there was something right there, and I could see it in my mom and dad, that they took such attention and focus on that because they knew it was right. There was something true with that show. There was something true about the message and about that man and what he had to say about God. And that segues so nicely into what we are talking about here, this idea of true and truth. And think for a minute about if we could turn and have a little discussion and talk about truth. How would you define truth, that which is true? It's one of those words that I think you use over and over again so much that sometimes it can kind of lose its meaning. But what is the essence of truth? You know, from the dictionary, you know, you look up a dictionary definition of truth, and it's about this long because it's a power-packed concept, truth. And you know, things we know, these things, but I'm gonna throw them out there to get us to help paint this picture of the concept of truth. But it's conforming to the actual state of reality. It's factual. That is part of what truth is. It's factual. It's a true story. Truth has an element of reason and logic to it as well. For example, here is this thing that we'll call it a chair. Probably a good name for that. And we could make a couple of statements about this chair. We can say one statement that this chair is made of wood. I could make another statement and say this chair is not made of wood. Those are two statements. And when you think about truth and true, in this case, there's only one of those that is true. There is a rightness in this concept that we understand what truth is. Both of those statements cannot be true. One of those statements has to be true, and one has to be false. Truth also has this idea of being loyal and faithful. He turned out to be a true friend. Think a moment about your friends and your acquaintances and your relationships. Put all those people kind of up in front of you. Are they true? Are they people of truth? And more than likely, I would guess here for us, our friends, our acquaintances, we would say they are people of truth. They are true friends. They are a true spouse. They're faithful and they're loyal. Genuine is another aspect of what truth is. The example the dictionary provided, this is true Parmesan cheese. It's not that fake stuff. This is the true stuff. Idea of truth. We also can talk about truth as being accurate and online. We have a compass. Pretend this is a compass. This compass is true. It shows true north. And the concept there involved in the word truth, or the idea, is that it is accurate and precise. The compass shows us true north, or level. A level, if it is accurate, it tells us what is plumb or what is level. It is the standard here of trueness or truth or truthfulness. And we use that sometimes, that standard. If you decide that my instrument is true, if this level is true, I will use it to true up a wall in construction when we're building a wall. I'm going to true up this so it makes it right. The level here is going to be used as a plumb to true up the wall. Throwing all this out so we can just kind of be thinking here a little bit about this concept of truth. I think maybe, you know, what helps me sometimes to grasp what truth is to think about those opposite things. You know, it is, what's an opposite of truth? What isn't true? Well, if it's inaccurate, or if it's unreliable, or if it's wrong, if it's dishonest, if it's fraudulent, if it's ingenuine, if it's fake. Those are all opposites of truth. And I wonder about what if we had great truth? I like Jill's message here. She talked about this machine that would show us right and wrong. What if we had a truth machine? Just, you know, here's this machine and we're going to take this machine and we're going to be able to put our stuff into it and it's going to tell us truth. Think about things that would be so different if we had truth. I have some examples here that I want you to show you. The first one here is to represent a courtroom. Anna took her bars this week, and she's waiting on the results of this, that she is on her path to become a lawyer. And no doubt Anna has forgotten 10 times more about the judicial system than I will ever know. But one thing about the judicial system here, I know that, you know, we go in there and you put your hand up and they make that statement that we say, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and so on and so forth, you know. But we need that truth machine in there, don't we? Think about our court system. Is that how it works? You know. Think about typically what happens. If we just knew truth, Anna would be out of a job. You know, you wouldn't need it because it's this quest to find out what really is true. Boy, what a wonderful thing if we had truth. That whole thing would be gone. Here's the second thing. I got a picture here to represent our politics and our politicians. And you know, we're coming up on midterm elections here, and so we'll start getting bombarded with commercials and flyers that come in the mail about who's running for what. And they make these statements. You know, if you will elect me as fill in the blank, I will do this and I will do this and I will do this because I stand for this and that and this and that. Man, if I had Jill's machine that I could say, really? Let me take your flyer and run it through here and let's find out who's being truthful. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we knew that our political leaders, and I don't mean to bash on them, I know we have an awful lot of really, really good leaders that are there, but boy, it just seems like some of our problems that we have in our country is because of a lack of truth. The next picture here's, bear with me a little bit, but these guys are sort of to represent so many things. You know, the young girl that goes into the mechanic's shop because something's sounding kind of funny on her car. This is the guy that's going to deal with her. And she says, oh, okay, Susie, here's what we found with your car. Boy, wouldn't you just really like to know as a dad, because, you know, this happens, that when my daughter went in there, that this guy that shows her the stuff that is a truthful assessment of what really needs to be done with the car. Or a car salesman, sometimes you get those guys, oh yeah, that odometer, it's accurate. Or people that, you know, call you up and say, hey, do you own your home? Let me got a great deal. You know, wouldn't it be nice if the people as we deal with in all of our relationships that have this thing, we could just know that they are about truth and not a stretch of the truth or a version of the truth that benefits them. Isn't that a powerful thing if we would have truth? The next one here I have that just kind of summarizes a lot of things is, you know, truth. If I want to find out information, can I just simply go on the internet and type this in? Well, if it's on the internet, it must be true. Not. Ever. No. Yeah, no, usually it is. It just, it requires so much of us to decipher through what's a valid resource that I can use. Just because it's on the internet, does that make it true? Think of our media. Think of our news outlets. That's the upper left-hand corner there. One of my hobbies right now, it's a sick hobby, but when I have time, you know, we have all these issues that are going on, so many things that are going on. My sick hobby is this. I pull up CNN.com and I read the stories. And then I flip over to Fox News and I pull up the same stories, and it's comical. What's true? They're just, I'm not saying one's right and wrong. Who knows? Who knows? You have this slant on all this stuff. Truth. Wouldn't it be nice to have truth? And so then, well, we'll do news on our own. We'll have our own social media. That's the lower right-hand corner there. You got Twitter and you've got Instagram and you've got all these things, Facebook, all of them up there. We'll take care of our own news. Well, can I trust that as well? Is it truthful? Is everything we hear on social media, is it truthful as well? Man, wouldn't it be nice to be a people where we knew, or if we had that wonderful machine that Jill had, that we could just run this through the truth filter and know. Sure would be awesome to have that. Well, those are some smaller level kind of items it'd be nice to have truth on. But when we start thinking about big picture things and things that we are all interested in, you know, above and beyond the truth, whether or not that mechanic says I need to replace my headlight fluid. Headlight fluid, anyone? There, okay. Don't do the headlight fluid joke again. You know, those things in our life that are way beyond, you know, the just the normal stuff that we have to do. Things like this, things like our big questions that we have in life. Is there really a God? What is life all about? What's the meaning of life? Who am I? What is all of this about? What happens when we die? Why is there evil in the world? What is right and wrong? These are these big questions that I claim everybody faces. Every human being faces these questions at some point in their life. These are the biggies, and probably more than that. But wouldn't it be nice to have truth in regards to those questions? And we can handle how we react to those questions differently. I think some people, it's their lifelong pursuit to find truth to those questions. Other people just simply avoid them. I don't care. I'm going to go fishing. And that's the extent of their living. They don't want to know the deep truths of life and our existence. Others claim they have found some ultimate truth. But there is a struggle for that. There is a struggle in life for those deep, deep questions. And it's nothing new. You know, to answer those philosophical questions have been going on for a long, long time. There was a man by the name of Pontius Pilate that struggled with truth as well. Pontius Pilate, you know, he was the leader in charge during the time of Christ and would ultimately have him sentenced to death. But in the movie The Passion for the Christ, Mel Gibson's movie that's getting to be quite old now, there's a scene in there that talks about, and he depicts Pontius Pilate in this anguish over what truth is. And I want to share this clip with you. You got to read the subtitles because it's not in English.
Quid est veritas, Claudia? Eam audis. Eam cognoscis quando dicitur.
Ita, audio. Nume tu?
Uomono. Potes mi dicere?
Si non vis veritatem audire, nemo tibi dicere potest.
Apologize, you almost have to have binoculars to read some of that, but that's Pontius Pilate talking to his wife, Claudius, and he asks her this question. What about truth? Do you hear it? Do you hear truth? Do you recognize it when it is spoken? That's the last question he asks his wife. And she gently reaches down and puts his face in her hands. He says, if you will not hear the truth, no one can tell you. If you will not hear the truth, no one can tell you. He's struggling with those big questions. He wants to know what truth is. No doubt. There's just so much going on in the Roman Empire at that time. So many people with different voices bombarding him with what is. What really is? What is this truth? And you could see that he's struggling with this. Later on in the movie, which is very scriptural, Mel Gibson took some liberties on that scene. We don't know if that's exactly how that played out. But the next scene is when Jesus is arrested, and he is now before Pilate, and Pilate is just trying to feel out this Jesus character. What's going on? Why do they want you killed? What's happening here? But still in the back of his mind is this, what is truth thing? Watch this encounter.
Perte istum hoc.
Me interficere te volunt. Cur, quid fecisti? Rexes tu?
Regnum meum non est de hoc mundo. Si eset, putas ministri mei isto sic tradere mei. Si visent.
Ant malca, ergo rexes tu.
Ego in hoc natus sum. Testimonium veritati perebeam. Omnes qui veritatem audiunt. Voce meam audiunt.
Veritas. Quid est veritas?
Jesus says, that is why I was born, to give testimony to the truth. It comes from the late chapters of John. All men who hear the truth, hear my voice. See how that echoes back to what his wife said, if you will not hear the truth. He says, and he walks right up to Jesus, says, truth. What is truth? And I love, that's probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie, because there's just tremendous irony in that scene. Because Pilate looks Jesus right in the face and says, what is truth? Because just hours before this encounter, when he was arrested, Jesus was in the upper room with those disciples when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And there's Pontius Pilate saying, what is truth? Now, he wasn't there. Pontius Pilate wasn't there when Jesus said that. But I think it is so ironic that here he is asking this question when he is literally looking at the definition of truth. And he's talking with him. Truth is Jesus, who he is conversing with at that very moment. That should have been Pontius Pilate's fulfillment of his quest for truth. But he can't hear it. That is the truth that he will soon sentence to death. Truth, we know, is not an idea. It's not a philosophy. It's not a theology. Truth, for us, followers of Christ, is a person. Last week we talked about Jesus as he declared himself as the only way, the only path to the Father. But he also says in that statement, I am the truth. He is the person, truth. For us, all of the answers to those tough life questions that we had on that slide before are found in him. We might not have specific answers to those questions, but we leave it to him when we don't have the answers to those questions. They're held in him. Our perspective on those tough questions is our faith in him. It's that he's got this. He's got this. Trust me, I am truth. I am that which is right. I am that which is faithful and loyal and factual and genuine and authentic. I am truth. Truth is a person, and we know truth. You and I know truth as we come to know Christ in scriptures. That's how we come to know truth, is coming to know him. And then we can trust that truth. That is an element of truth that we need to know. And this is something I'm growing in as well. If something is true, if something is true, I can trust it. If my level is true, I can trust this to set those walls. If my compass is true, and I know where north is and I need to get west, I can trust this to get me where I need to go. If it is true, I can trust it. When we say Jesus is the truth, he can be trusted. The truth, one, that's not the easiest thing for us to talk about in the year 2018 in America. We don't want to have absolute truths. We want things to be, not we, I'm talking about kind of in general, relative. There are no objective truths. Things are relative. So when you make statements that this is the truth, that rubs a lot of our culture the wrong way. And that is a difficult thing that we, people of the truth, we need to recognize that. It is a different time. I was talking with Virginia just before church started here a little bit about this, that, you know, just in our lifetime, in my lifetime, I think I can look back and the general population had a handle on something that was true. They knew it. They knew truth. They could reject it, but there was a truth. And it was found in this Judeo-Christian principle system that we have within our faith. This is true. And people knew it. That was then. It's a different world today. There's just multiple kinds of truths that people have to sift through. There are these competitive voices that are saying, this is true and that's true. You can say that chair's made of wood. I can say that chair's not made of wood, and we're both true. Where's the logic in that? Where is the logic in that? You can say that there is a God. I'm going to say there isn't a God. And we're both right. Really? There's just a lack of logic there. But there's some teeth that goes with a statement that says, that chair is made of wood. And there is a God. And Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. It's tricky. It's not the most politically correct statement we can make today, but that is who we are. The world needs to see truth. And I believe they will see truth, that person, in those who belong to the truth and listen to his voice. I am glad that we are all, in this family, seekers of truth together. We're coming to know truth, real truth, by coming to know Jesus Christ. We come to know him as we come here together in what we do. We come to know him in our conversations that we have with each other, in the songs that we sing to him and about him together. We come to know him through our prayers, but probably most prominently we come to know him through this, through scripture. This is how we come to know him. And not just here, but in our daily lives, because we go home and we have prayers and we have time in scriptures to come and hear his voice and to come to know him personally and to know truth, the person as revealed in scriptures. I'm in there. This is God's story. And the more I read truth and come to know him, I'm in here. This is about me. He knows me. He wants me to know him. It's truth. He is the truth. Let's pray.